The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey guys, this is Brett Baronic from Sugar Grove Church in Goshen, Indiana, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back. Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 35. Hey, everybody, this is Steve.
My name is Matthew, and we are here to help youth workers to keep going.
And we're coming to you live from the National Youth Workers Convention in St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis.
We're not really there.
Miserable weather.
It was.
We're not there, but the content of the episode was actually live in St. Louis.
Once upon a time, we were there.
We were there.
It was just last week.
And we recorded things there.
We did. It was a lousy weather, you're right.
Oh, it was terrible.
I almost didn't get there.
I can't believe you sat on a runway for 4 hours.
I did. So you took off at like 5 a.m., right?
I had a 6 a.m. flight, so I was out early, got out before the storm.
Yeah, so we were supposed to take off at 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and we sat on the tarmac for over 3 hours.
Oh.
I did not think we were going to make it.
Miserable.
Yeah, I did not think we were going to make it. I thought I was going to have to walk to St. Louis.
And you had half the stuff.
I did.
And so when the booth,
booth.
When our booth opened at 5 o'clock on Thursday, it was... It was a little lame because it was just half a Sherpa and half the Sherpa stuff.
It was probably lame the rest of the weekend, too.
No, it was not. I think our booth, and I know I'm biased. I'm going to admit my bias. I think our booth was one of the best ones there.
Seriously.
I think people were having a good time rolling the dice, winning shirts.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And, you know, we got lucky because right across from us, there was like this empty back of the booth for photo box. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And so we had this dice rolling station.
Yeah.
We had our own space for it. It's like we had our own little craps table there.
Yeah, and you had to roll.
Craps on a table? I don't even know what craps is.
Depends. If it's legit, probably on a table, but mostly in the back alley.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that. Don't ask why I know that.
So, yeah, we had our own back alley.
And it was so much fun. You had to roll snake eyes or double sixes to get a T-shirt. So this, statistically, it didn't come up often. So when it did, man, people went crazy. It was so fun.
You know, people were pretty salty when they didn't win, too.
They did. Somebody actually came up to me and said, I feel cheated. I was like, well, I gave you candy. But I wanted a shirt.
I know. Well, the thing is, the T-shirt companies were giving away free T-shirts. Because that's what they do.
Right, they can do that.
Well,
we had to buy our shirts.
We paid for them.
Yeah.
So we couldn't just give them away like candy.
Right.
We could give away, though.
Candy, like candy.
Well, we could give away podcast airtime like candy.
Yes.
Which is basically what we did.
This great idea where we had this bowl of random questions, 7 random questions about student ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We invited people to step into our booth and record, introduce themselves and heard their answer to the question, and it turned out really great. It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. We met a lot of really cool people, and some of you are listening to this right now. So thanks for stopping by and sharing your thoughts with us.
We're glad you're with us now. Yeah. And so, without further ado, we want you to be able to meet some of the awesome people that we met.
Right.
Via the magic of podcasting.
So it's like you're live right now.
Absolutely.
So the first question that was in the bowl, and it came up a number of times, was what is your favorite thing about youth ministry? We got some pretty good answers to that question.
Some great answers.
Yeah. We got one of our buddies, JD, was on that.
That's right. I got one of our guys from our party house at the DYM convention.
Yeah. And so we're going to play those answers for you now, and we're going to hear what these people say is their favorite thing in student ministry.
Enjoy.
My name is Lorene Hamilton. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And my question is, what's your favorite thing about student ministry? My favorite thing about student ministry is getting to walk life with folks, walking with young people and helping them figure out who it is that God created them to be, sharing my story and helping them realize that, you know, we've all been through it and it might look like we have it all together right now, but that came through a long road, a lot of heartache and sometimes a lot of victory. And so helping them kind of make sense of their story and helping them see that God is going to use that and it's going to help them become who He created them to be.
My name's James Holder. I'm from Tulia, Texas. My question is, what's your favorite thing about student ministry? My favorite thing is to be able to see a student reach the point where they begin to take their faith seriously, where they finally make the change from just showing up, just playing the games, just hanging out, to truly becoming a disciple of Christ and growing to be closer to Him and more like Him.
My name is Tara Brubaker. I am from Coastal Community Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and my favorite thing about student ministry is just the chance to be with the kids and to watch them grow in Christ and to help be that positive influence that so many of them need these days.
Hey guys, I'm JD Miller. I am from Kimberling City, Missouri. It's right there on beautiful Table Rock Lake. And I am here with the Sherpas and their amazing podcast. And my question that I received was, what is your favorite thing about student ministry? That is really tough to answer. I mean, if you want to get the Jesus-y approach to it, I love seeing a student get it. Love seeing what a student just... something about the truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word, connects with them, and you see it on their face, and you begin to see it in their life. That I ride that high for months. That can carry me through some of the darkest valleys, knowing that students are turning. On a surface level, man, I'd say it's going to games. It's being involved. I get the blessing of being a chaplain for the basketball team. Funny story, one of the kids in my youth group, I've been going to his games since he was in seventh grade as a basketball player. He's one of the elders' kids. And so I took it upon myself. I said, man, like, if I don't go after the elders' kid, I'm failing in youth ministry. So I go after this elders' kid, and he is the most quiet, introverted kid in the world. And for 6 months, he wouldn't even talk to me. I'd show up to every basketball game. I'd go to everything he was doing. And he'd just be like, hey, and just kind of wave and a nod. Nothing. And now here it is, his senior year in high school. And man, what a great dynamic we have, a great relationship we have. And even his friends and teammates have started being involved in our ministry, all because they saw this weird dude who honestly was probably a little creepy, because he invested in the seventh grade boy and said, hey, look, I want to be passionately involved in your life. And now I get to be a chaplain for their basketball team and make an investment in a cool way. So it's just amazing to see God work in those beautiful ways and that I get to be a part of it. So, man, I thank you so much. And big shout out to the Dana Point crew, DYM 200. Love these guys. Got to be in a house with these guys. Got to be the young guy in a house full of old men. And it was a great experience. You know, at 30 years old, 7 years into ministry, you think to yourself, man, I'm starting to get some traction. I'm starting to feel like I'm getting to that veteran status of youth ministry. And then getting to sit down with guys with 25, 30 plus years of ministry experience and realizing God has got so much more in store for me, and there's so many more ways I can grow. And hearing your voices, hearing your stories, and just hearing what you guys do on this podcast, like, it is such a refresher for me to know, like, yes, I've got some money in the bank, some coins in the trench, but there's still so much more ahead of me. So thank you guys for that, because that has been powerful in my life to know, yes, I've come a distance, but there's so much more to go. And as long as I'm faithful, kind of as Robert Maydew said the other day, stay in your lane and keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. And I see that in you guys, so thank you for
that. Thanks, JD. Yeah, appreciate
absolutely.
That, man.
Love you, man. Boom. Yeah,
absolutely. JD's a character, isn't he?
Oh, man, he's so great. He was so much fun to hang out with in California. We're at that conference, and it was great to see him again in St. Louis.
Oh, he was the youngest one in the house, right?
He was. He thought he was going to be like middle of the road or maybe even one of the olders, and then he ended up in a house with a bunch of geezers. Poor guy.
But he's the one that had our connection to Josh Griffin. That's so right. Josh came over to the party beach house
and hung up by the fire.
It was really, really cool. So thanks, JD. It was good to see you again, man. And thanks for introducing us to your friend Mike as well, your former youth pastor.
Which is a cool story, just to always see somebody that poured into you and now you're in it pouring into other people. Very cool. Yeah,
just to see that legacy continue is really awesome. So thanks, guys.
So what about you, Steve? What is your favorite part about student ministry?
My favorite part about student ministry is, that's a deep question, man.
It is. It's a big question.
There's so many things.
I can't believe we put it in a bowl.
You want a quick answer to that?
Sure. I think my favorite, there's lots of things.
Okay.
But if I were to, off the top of my head, riff on one thing that's one of my favorite things about student ministry is the unfiltered nature of the people we get to work with.
That's cool. You know,
middle school and high school kids, sometimes they're so socially awkward and so early in the game that they just don't have the filters that adults have. And honestly,
it's like
super refreshing because if you give a message and they don't understand it, they'll just be like, dude, I have no idea what you just said. But nobody would say, no one would tell you that on Sunday morning after you preached on the big stage.
It's true.
But to know that, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll have to go back to the job. I mean, there's something about that and the honesty of their questions because of that filter. To them, there is no wrong question. So they're just going to ask it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, our second question. I didn't answer your question.
You didn't. I saw how you skipped right past that.
I was just going to say, it's just the ongoing relationships. When you start with a student like 6th, 7th grade and get to walk with them for the next 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love that.
So cool.
And then through college, I mean, it just continues on. I love those relationships looking back at kids that I've known for so long. So
yeah,
that's my favorite thing. So the second question that we asked people, number two, was why did you get into student ministry in the first place? What crazy notion caused you to do this? So let's see what they had to say.
Yep. Hi, my name is Larry Ritterbeck. The question I got was, why did you get into student ministry? 23 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to come to church, and it kind of changed my life. After that, I had many people investing into me, and right now I'm serving at Arlington Church of the Nazarene. I've been there for about 15 years. I just really enjoy investing in kids' lives.
My name is Margie Ligon. I'm from Belmont, North Carolina. My question is, why did you get into student ministry? I actually went into student ministry because I wanted to get away from adult ministry. I had spent many years going to adult Sunday schools, and regardless of which Sunday school class I would go to, I was always disappointed. The leaders were often not prepared. It ended up being more just a social fellowship hour. And I was really wanting to dive deeper into scripture, work on my spiritual growth, and it wasn't happening. So I was invited to teach first the 4th grade Sunday school class. Did that for a couple of years. And then the youth minister at the time came to me and said they had a middle school class that was quite unruly. And since my profession at the time was a public school teacher, asked me to step in and take over that class. So my husband and I together started into middle school ministry and just totally fell in love with middle school boys and girls and thought they were incredible. And we found that we could actually dive deep in the Bible. They appreciated reading scripture. They were eager to learn. They wanted to learn more about God than we thought the adults did. So we started in as volunteers for about 9 years. Then I pursued a part-time job in youth ministry. And after teaching 22 years, I left the teaching profession and went into full-time ministry, and it was the best decision of my life.
My name is Chris Wynn, and I am the college minister at Community Life Church in Paducah, Kentucky. The question is, why did you get into student ministry? And the answer is because of my youth pastor. When I was about 19 years old, just graduating high school, we got a youth pastor that joined our church, and he saw interest in me that nobody else did at the time, and he just started grooming me to be, I guess, what he was at the time, even if it was just like moving chairs or setting out chairs or setting out food or going to pick up food and moving back and forth, things like that. But he showed interest where I didn't really have a father figure in my life at the time, but he stepped into that role. And even though he was about 5 years older than me, he still filled those needs that I needed and it made me feel important. So I just decided to stick with it.
Yeah, that was some good stuff.
There you have it. A couple more of the really awesome people we got to meet. Now you know a little bit about them.
So why'd you get into student ministry? For the paycheck, right?
I got into it for the perks, 100% for the perks.
The free t-shirts.
Free t-shirts, free pizza whenever I want it.
You know, our youth group fridge is always full of food left over from Sunday or Wednesday
night. So
great. I can eat free almost every day of the week for lunch here at the church. It's crazy. It's great.
No, why I got into student ministry was it's a calling, Steve. Hashtag Jesus Duke. No, seriously, I mean, that's partly the answer, but honestly,
when you were 20, was that the answer?
From my story, it was by accident.
Right.
And then I realized that I believed that's what God had created me to do.
Yeah.
So I got in it because I felt like I was built to do it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
And if you really want to know the whole story, you got to go back and listen to episode one.
It's like episode one, right? I think. We tell our stories.
Yeah. So, for sure, we go. Yeah, go listen to that.
What's the next question we ask these fine people?
Question number three was, what's something that makes you laugh in student ministry? So we got some good answers to this one.
Oh, man, this is good stuff.
Check it out.
Hey, guys, it's Camila. I am from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and the question that I got was, what do students do that makes you laugh the hardest? So this was a hard question at first for me because I was like, they do so much stuff that just makes me crack up. But I'm a youth group leader, and I have the freshman girls, so you know how freshmen are. Well, honestly, just they can't stay on topic for the life of them. Then that just makes me crack up so much. Like, you could ask them a simple question and be like, what was the message about to you? And they'll just start talking about their nails and their hair and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, that's it.
My name is Ethan Videshin. I'm from Galesburg, Illinois. My question is, what do students do that make you laugh the hardest? And it is try way too hard at games that involve no skill at all. When they just go absolutely ballistic for a game that involves no skill at all, and they're upset when they lose because they feel like their physical ability would have allowed them to participate better, be better at the game, but it's all just dumb luck or just random. It's the best. It's one of those games that you win. As the youth leader, you win. No one else is winning but you. And that's what makes me laugh hard.
My name is Marie Swiegel from Verdon, Illinois, and my question is, what do students do that makes you laugh the hardest? And I would have to say when they're just being themselves and silly and funny and just enjoying youth group probably makes me laugh the hardest.
Jeffrey Corbin from Danville, Kentucky. My question is, what do students do that make you laugh the hardest? A big part of it is just when they're being themselves, when they're chasing each other around the room and yelling, and in the chaos, there's just a lot of fun and hope and love that I get to see them do. And just sometimes there are certain students that's humor just really meshes well. So I get some of the hardest laughs when students honestly say the darndest things.
Dude, we could have heard 100 answers to that.
Oh man, students just—they're too funny. They just absolutely crack up. That one gal was talking about her freshman girls not being able to stay on topic. My wife is a middle school leader.
Okay,
she cycled back down to sixth grade this year, and then they follow them for 3 years. So she's down in sixth grade. She started a group chat with them. A text message group chat.
Right.
She got home from church the first Sunday after she set the group chat up. She had 195 notifications.
Oh, my word.
And it said nothing.
And
she was like, what have I done? And I was just, I'm over the chair just laughing, like, rookie move. This is like her fifth group that she cycled through middle school. I'm like, what are you thinking?
That's classic.
It's so classic.
I love it when you have one of those students that just has an incredible sense of humor and just brings it all the time. I had one graduate last year, actually two. They were just so funny. They were funny together. But they would make videos. They would do things on retreats. I think I told a story about the one kid collected all the artwork in the camp and put it in his
made
room.
Made an art gallery
in his room. Oh my gosh, those kids are just precious.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, that makes me laugh too, just to watch kids explore their creativity in a safe environment, be able to try to prank each other and have fun, and it's good. I think one of my other favorite things is trying to get them off their kilter
by
like either saying something that I should have no business saying because I'm in my 50s or 40s or whatever, and just watching their reaction, like, are you serious right now? Oh, just that's one of my favorite things. I laugh so hard when I can get a kid like looking at me like, wait, are you serious? Yeah, it's totally lit, man. Come on.
They got me last night. We were playing Dead Cat 2.
Oh, second, Dead Cat 2.
Yeah, there's Dead Cat 2 now.
I didn't know there was
it's,
Dead Cat 2.
It's pretty good. But there's one answer. It says, bye, Felicia, LOL.
Bye, Felicia.
I had no idea what that is. Oh. So I said, bye, Felicia 101.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did. They were all looking at me like, it's LOL. Like, I don't know what bye, Felicia is. Yeah. I don't, what
it's
is that?
It's a vine, I think. Oh, pretty whatever. Sure it's a vine or some.
Whatever. I'm glad I could make them thing. Laugh, too. Yeah, they exactly. probably have podcasts where they talk about what youth pastors do
to make them laugh. hours and hours of footage on that podcast. Absolutely. For sure.
So, question four was, what's your biggest pet peeve in student ministry?
So, let's hear what our good friends that we met had to say.
So, this is Jason Glenn from Union Hill Baptist Church in Holt Summit, Missouri. And so, my question is what is your biggest pet peeve in student ministry? By far, my biggest pet peeve is 5 minutes before an event going, can I still attend? Can I bring a friend? And the answer is repeatedly, well, yes, you can attend, and yes, you can bring a friend. Because somehow in student ministry, people believe that, you know, they can't invite friends to events, which makes no sense to me because our whole purpose is to outreach. So at some point, I love to look at them and say, no, your friend, they can't come to the event. Sorry, it's just for you.
Hi, this is Matt Cooper from Northland Christian Church in Topeka, Kansas. And my question is, what's your biggest pet peeve in student ministry? I would have to say my biggest pet peeve in student ministry is late parents. I cannot stand when we come back from a camp or a retreat and you're waiting 2 hours for a kid and the parent just forgot to pick him up. It's awful. And so that's probably my biggest pet peeve.
My name is Kyle McClain. I am from the Guthrie Grove Church of God in South Carolina. And the question I got is, what's your biggest pet peeve in student ministry? My biggest pet peeve in student ministry is probably when you work with a certain kid over and over again and you fail to see any progress or growth in the student despite all your effort into a child. And that is a big pet peeve of mine. Or maybe,
dude, what's the longest you ever had to wait for a parent to come pick up a kid?
Prior to my banning of lock-ins... I had to wait. This might have actually led to my banning of lock-ins. I waited an hour and 15 minutes after the last person left. Not after the event ended. After the last person left, which was also about 15 minutes late.
Okay.
So we're talking 90 minutes after a lock-in. I waited for this dad to pick up.
You deserved it.
Because I had a lock-in. It's my own fault. Let's just say I had words with this father.
Oh, really?
Oh, I did, yes. When he pulled up, I was standing there with the child outside. And he pulled up, and I said, I need you to understand that myself and a bunch of volunteers at this church just took care of your kid for 12 hours overnight. I haven't slept yet. And you coming 90 minutes late is probably the most disrespectful thing anybody's ever done to me.
Were you a little grumpy?
Oh, I was.
I know you were young because you wouldn't have done it recently.
Oh, yeah. I was probably in my 20s when it happened.
How did that go over?
He said sorry and drove away. I mean, what was he to say? I mean, I had him dead to rights.
Oh, man.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve? Oh, there's so many. Let me think about it a second.
See, I think for me, my biggest pet peeve, I'm going back one question. Ethan.
Okay.
He said his thing that students make him laugh is when kids try really hard in games that require no ability and there's nothing on the line.
Right.
That's a pet peeve of mine. Like when an athlete is like coming to youth group and then I say they're out and they go crazy. I'm like, dude, you're playing for a bag of Skittles. Chill out. Like that's one of my pet peeves, honestly.
That's good. I thought of my pet peeve. It's incessant students. When you're on a trip and they're asking you what's next.
So what's next? Where are we going?
Or they're constantly asking you questions. My wife teaches kindergarten. She calls them sleeve tuggers. You know, the kids who come up and they're tugging on your sleeve.
Always.
Well, there's youth ministry sleeve tuggers. Those are my biggest pet peeve. Yep.
Nice.
So question five was, pick three words that describe your unique style or personality in student ministry. A little bit more of a serious question.
Yeah, I like it. Introspective.
So think about it, and we'll come back and we'll float our three answers to that.
Let's hear what our friends had to say from National Youth Workers.
Hey, this is Craig Mart from Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm the middle school pastor at Hershey Free Church. I've been there for almost 7 years. The question I have is, use three words to describe your style in student ministry. So interesting question. I don't think I've thought about it too much before now. But the first one that I think students would say is that Pastor Craig is fun and inclusive. He wants to include everybody in what's going on. Doesn't matter what kind of a kid you are. We get that quite a bit. Another one is caring, that Pastor Craig cares. And hopefully the fun aspect draws them in and want them to be caring. And then the third one definitely is emotional. I always get this cue, or kids were going to say, oh, Pastor Craig's almost ready to cry again, because I get so into what we're doing and I'm passionate about, you know, caring for the kids. So they would say I'm emotional, but I'll own it. I don't care. I'll take it. Awesome. Those are the three words.
Hey, this is Mike Campbell. I'm a youth minister at First Christian Church in Cleveland, Oklahoma, here at the National Youth Workers Convention. Just met the Sherpas. The question they asked was the three words that describe your ministry or youth ministry. So I think the three words is consistent. It would be one is just being consistent, you know, with relationships, but really just consistency in ministry so kids can have some normalcy, I think stands out. I'll tell you another one is being practical or simple. Those two words come to mind, just, you know, making sure that we're not too complicated, but keep things simple and things that are really practical, you know, particularly if we're teaching the gospel and our ministry, but our calendar and all those things and what our purpose is. And then I think the third thing is just be relational. Relationships are important. I'm an introvert, but I grew up in a family where I saw my parents, my dad was a pastor, he still is, and my mom, you know, as a minister's wife, see them how they work together in ministry, and relationships were what I remember, what they impacted, even in my life. And I think relationally, that's where I want to be. And some of those intertwine, like being consistent with relationships and being practical with relationships, but those are the three. So it'd be, you know, the whole idea of being relational in ministry is so important, making sure that you're connecting with people, because that's what it's about. You know, I love youth ministry, and those things make it happen. So that's my thoughts, man.
There you go.
My name is Drew Weider. I'm from Parsons, Kansas. I've been in ministry for over 12 years. I've been full-time youth pastor for 8 years at this church. Use three words to describe your style in student ministry. The Fortnite champ. Drop the mic.
It was really cool to hear from Mike Campbell, JD's youth pastor.
Yeah.
To see that legacy passed on.
Love it.
Yeah. And, you know, the words he used to describe himself are really the things that produce someone like JD who can continue that legacy for him. So it's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. How about you? What are your three words?
My three words. Well, it's tough to narrow it down to three words, but I
can come up with three words for you.
Could you? I'd like to hear your three words.
Not share them publicly.
I'd like to hear your three words. But I think that the three words that I would use is relaxed.
Mm.
I think that I bring a pretty laid back vibe to anything that I'm a part of, student ministry included.
Okay.
However, it's also intentional.
Okay.
Like I think and sometimes overthink every little thing that I do, both plan for ministry, how I am when I'm around the students, when I'm at an event, just so that everything is very intentional. And then I think the third one is spontaneous.
Oh, good.
I like to be spontaneous. I'm a planner, and I love structure, but I love to do that so that I can be spontaneous within that structure.
That's cool.
Yeah, what about you?
I would use relax, too. I was going to say chill. It's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, same thing.
I don't get flummoxed a lot, you know. I kind of take
things
in stride.
Great word,
Thank
flummoxed.
You. Thank
nice.
You. I can spell it. So, you know, kids will ask me a hard question. I'll just look at them like, let me think for a second before I answer. And they think, come on, man, give me the answer. Yeah, pretty relaxed. Second one I thought of was creative.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a creative streak in me. It's kind of what's driving a lot of this podcast and the whole idea for this. And I just love to express my creativity in youth ministry in different ways. And then the third one I thought of was sentimental.
You are.
I'm really sentimental.
You are a sentimental soul.
I am.
For sure.
I love thinking back to former students and in all the traditions that we've developed in our youth ministry over the years and how precious those are to me. And I get teary-eyed a lot when I'm talking to kids.
And yet you made fun of me for crying when reading my book of memories from students on my 40th birthday, you sentimental jerk.
Well, I wasn't sentimental about it. They weren't my kids.
You could have been empathetic.
Well, that's true.
And I'm really curious to what three words you had for me.
Well, that's for a future
podcast. We'll talk that offline.
All right, the next question. Question six was, how long do you want to stay in student ministry? So this kind of fits with our whole theme for this podcast. Let's hear what they had to say.
So there was really only one right answer here. Let's see if they got it.
Yeah, let's see if they got this one right.
Hi, my name is Chase Smith. I'm the student pastor at Crosslink Community Church in Grove City, Ohio. I pulled the question, how long do you want to stay in student ministry? And I've gotten that question a lot from my parents, from my sister, from people all in my life. And now I get to address that question from the other side. I'm also a professor at Ohio Christian University with students. And I'll say this, I think we see so many student pastors in student ministry for a short time because no one tells them that they can make a career out of student ministry. People go into student ministry thinking that it's a stepping stone to senior pastorate, or just that there's a student ministry for only a season of life. And I just had this passion that if more students, if more people who are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, if more people are told that they can make a career out of student ministry, I think we would see more long-term student ministry veterans and maybe help student pastors get through those first couple hiccups or frustrations in their church context, because no one tells them that they can make a career out of student ministry. So the answer for me would be for life. Like, I'm in student ministry for life. This is going to be my career. This has been my career. And I'm in it to win it, man.
My name is Haley Sanderson. I am the youth minister at St. James Episcopal Church in Springfield, Missouri. And my question is, how long do you want to stay in student ministry? And I think forever, I mean, as long as I can. We have a youth volunteer, or she's not a youth volunteer, but she volunteers for the youth. Her name is Duchess, and she's been doing student ministry forever. I mean, like, she's in her 70s, and she's been doing it since she was, like, 18 years old, and, like, I aspire to be that person. I have so much love and so much want to, like, put my heart into student ministry and youth ministry, and I couldn't imagine my life not being a volunteer or a youth minister or having some involvement in the lives of these, like, amazing kids and be able to, like, watch them in their walk through, you know, with Christ and through Christ, and just seeing the way that they turn into their own ministers, you know, it's really cool.
My name is Katie Mayberry. I serve in Jackson, Missouri as a youth worker. And my question is, how long do you want to stay in student ministry? And I can't foresee myself not ever being in student ministry. I think it's impactful and powerful. And there are so many different things you can do to keep it fresh and keep loving it.
All right, cool. Hey, my name is Frank Gill from Epicos Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I got, how long do you want to stay in student ministry? And what's ironic is I left a job in Arkansas to move to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because I felt like my student ministry career was coming to an end, but I wasn't being poured into to do anything else outside of student ministry. And so I found my church in Milwaukee because there were a lot of great ministers that were willing to pour into me to help me become a campus pastor, senior pastor, church planner. But while I've been at this church in inner city Milwaukee, starting a youth ministry from the ground up, I've fallen more in love with student ministry than I've ever been. And so if you were to ask me right now this question, I don't know when the end date is. If I get too old that I can't do it anymore, I'll write a book and just talk about it, I guess. But for now, I don't see an end point in this journey in student ministry. I love it.
Well, I think they got the answer right.
They did well.
They passed.
They
the
passed
exam.
The exam.
Congratulations.
We gave them candy, didn't we, for passing?
I think we did.
We did something.
Yeah. It was cool to hear what Frank said about how he was thinking he was actually going to possibly be leaving student ministry. And now he's like an icon in student ministry.
I know.
Which is pretty awesome.
It's so cool.
He saw the light.
And how long do you want to be in student ministry, Steve?
Oh, my goodness. Well, how long am I going to live?
Right, exactly. Great answer.
You know, I'm going to be in as long as I can, and I'm still cooking here at age 53, so we'll see.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've been challenged by is, you know, even as you have opportunities to do other things in your church, because I've been asked to fill some other roles at my church that are not student ministry related, and it's been an honor to be asked to do that, and some of them actually fit into some of my other giftings and passions, and so it's awesome. But for me, then, it's like, okay, but what can I do to stay involved in student ministry because I can't shake it. Like
you've got to keep the needle in the vein somewhere.
Absolutely.
You've got to, man.
I have to. And so the character coaching stuff and this podcast were just ways for me to say, no, I'm a student ministry lifer. So whatever else the church wants me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it well, but I'm going to be involved in student ministry somehow. I just can't let it go.
Dude, if you ever try to get out, I'm just going to grab you by your collar and yank you back. So
don't even consider it.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to our last question that we asked at the conference, and it was actually my favorite question that we came up with. It was, what's the one thing you refuse to do in student ministry? And again, this was a bit of a test, and some people got it right, but all the answers are really great. So
yeah,
give it
here
a
you
listen. Go. Hi, my name is Rebecca Hayes. I'm from Rochelle, Illinois. I'm part of the Rochelle United Methodist Church. My husband and I are both youth leaders. We've been there for 11 years. And my question is, what is something you absolutely refuse to do in student ministry? My answer would be lock-ins. I love my sleep. I love my kids too, but I feel like I would rather spend 12 hours during the day instead of 12 hours at night with them. So yeah, that's something I absolutely refuse to do in youth ministry.
Howdy, my name is TJ Lewis, and I'm the youth pastor at Lake Arlington Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. I got the question, what do I absolutely refuse to do in student ministry? The first and second and third thought was lock-ins, man. I learned a long time ago, nothing of value and of substance comes from a lock-in. There's a lot of fun, but about 3 a.m., everybody hates each other, and any good that you've accomplished up to 3 a.m. falls apart, and by 6 a.m. you want to kill them all, just like Moses wanted to kill the children of Israel. So stay away from lock-ins. A good alternative, and this has been so much fruit for me, get them at 8 in the morning, hang out with them till 10 o'clock at night. It's the same principle. Hang out all day long, send them home. Everybody goes to bed. Everybody goes to bed happy. Works out for a really great day. So blessings, y'all.
Hey, TJ's got a really cool story I want to share with you real quick about being a senior pastor at age 22.
Yeah.
You've been in youth ministry for 18 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Just
yeah.
Tell us that story quick.
Okay, so I started when I was 17, which was really, really cool.
Wow.
When I went to Bible college, there was a church outside of town that called me to be their youth pastor. My wife and I did that together. And when I was 22, one Sunday morning, senior pastor who's 62 walks in and looks at me like 10 minutes before the service starts, says, "I'm done. I quit this morning." Explains to me, he was just sick of it. He said, "It's not good for my health. These people are driving me crazy. I'm out." And he walked into the service and he quit. Like, we didn't sing a song that morning. He walked in and said, "I quit." He and his wife left. And so I'm the only guy on staff. So I stand up from the congregation, I'm 22. I said, I think we need to pray. And so we prayed. And I don't even remember if we sang any songs. That was a pretty short service that day. The deacons met that afternoon, and I really feel like just kind of out of desperation, they called me to be their interim pastor. Just wanted me to come and preach. And so I did that for about 6 months. And after 6 months, they went ahead and made it official and made me the total package senior pastor. And I did that for another 7 months, but man, I was just miserable. I learned a lot about preaching, learned a lot about leading people, learned how to balance a budget. That's pretty important. But I missed my teenagers terribly, especially all these students that we had led for up until that point 3 years. And so I just kind of begged God, "Lord, let me get back in youth ministry and open that door. And if I can help it, I ain't going back, man. I want to do youth ministry till I die." So I'm 18 years in. Lord, give me another 18, and I'll keep doing as faithfully as I can. But I praise God for senior pastors. I really, really do. And I've had some really awesome ones. I just don't ever want to do that again if I don't have to. So.
That's fantastic. Thanks,
yep.
TJ.
Sure.
Thanks for sharing that story with us.
Thank y'all.
18 more years, easy.
Easy. No
yeah.
doubt.
God
no
bless
doubt.
You, man.
You too, sir. Appreciate it.
I'm Jake Martin. I'm from Alpharetta, Georgia, and my church is Birmingham United Methodist. And one thing that I absolutely refuse to do in student ministry is to dress up as a girl for skits, because I've done it a lot and never again. That was a rookie mistake.
Did you have a bad experience?
I've had plenty of bad experiences wearing dresses on stage.
My name is John Rogers, and I'm from First Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama, right outside Huntsville. My question is, what is something you absolutely refuse to do in student ministry? Well, I've been in student ministry for almost 20 years, and I have successfully never done a lock-in. Now, I know Josh Griffin would be very disappointed in me, but that's okay. I have nothing to prove.
My name is Courtney Krause. I am from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I serve at Coastal Community Church. And what is something I absolutely refuse to do in student ministry? And that is eat anything gross and do anything bird related. I have a huge phobia of birds. I don't really have an origin story of it. I do remember I was already afraid of birds when we watched the Alfred Hitchcock movie in my ninth grade English class. And I turned around and I sat outside in the hallway for the entire duration of the movie because I could not sit there and watch it. My anxiety got really high. And I've just kind of always been afraid. It's kind of an inbred fear.
What is a bird-related youth activity?
I don't think there is one, but if there ever was one, you can really count me out of it. I love my students so much, but no. That's not going to happen.
So we got the lock-in answers.
Which is the right answer.
Congratulations.
To me. Now, but people are divided. I thought in my head that more people were getting on the anti-lock-in bandwagon.
Well, you weren't there on Sunday of the conference because you had to come home early. But Josh and Doug were wearing T-shirts on stage. One said pro-lock-in and one said anti-lock-in.
Who was pro?
I think Josh was pro.
Oh,
he's a little more.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he's got maybe a little more crazy energy.
But I was surprised that when we had this conversation, how many people were like, "No, I'm all about it. Let's do it." And I was like, "Oh man."
I've even heard people defending it, which, you know,
that's okay. Hey, good for you. To each their own. You know, we don't want to alienate anybody. But if you want to stay in youth ministry for the long haul, you might want to think about hanging it up.
Your pet peeve will soon emerge.
Exactly.
My favorite answer though was Courtney.
The bird thing.
What is with the birds?
I don't know, but that's kind of funny.
She just,
and the fact that there was no backstory.
No.
Like I was like, oh, do tell.
There's no backstory. What in youth ministry involves birds?
You know what? We'd probably be surprised. I bet you there's stuff. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But it's good that she knows herself, that she just refuses to do it. So that and lock-ins. So I'm with her. I'm going to go with an anti-bird and anti-lock-in.
We have Jello nights, right? We have whatever, all kinds of crazy nights. We should have a bird night.
No. Why?
Well, just think, what could we do with it? What could we do with it? It'd be like, I don't know, something with pigeons, eagles. Penguins. Penguins would be fun.
How are we getting
chickens?
An eagle?
Steve, what about chickens? How turkeys?
We eagle? Chickens or turkeys are plenty of. Where are we getting an eagle? What are you thinking?
I did a wedding a couple weeks ago. It was in an aviary. There were eagles and penguins there.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
There you go. I think they like to keep them there, though.
Courtney would not have liked that wedding.
No, Courtney
at all.
Would not like that wedding at
she
all.
She would not have been there.
What fun. What fun to hear all those people that we got to meet. And the great thing is it's a small sampling of the hundreds of people we got to talk to and hear a little bit of their story and hear where God has them and what he has them doing. And man, I just came back super jazzed from the convention about the state of youth ministry.
It was so fun. We met people who have been in youth ministry for over 30 years. There were guys that have been in it much longer than we have. And we met a guy that had been in youth ministry for 2 weeks.
I know.
He'd been married for 3. He'd been a youth pastor for 2.
And here he was at the convention getting the party started.
He comes back
with
a question. He's like, well, my church is undergoing some changes, and I was wondering when you think is a good time to make some changes to the youth ministry.
Like, dude, you're 2 weeks in. Figure out where your office is.
Have you even set up the bed in your new apartment yet?
So it was great. It was good talking with him. We had great conversations.
So fun.
And so much fun. And their theme – national, you especially steam, you know, these are my people.
Right.
It just could not be more nail on the head.
Yeah.
Or is that how they say it? Nail on the head? Hit the nail on the head?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was it. Because when they said that, it just resonated right through. Yes. That's why I'm so happy here. These are my people.
Yeah. Which is why I'm so glad we got to go.
Yeah.
I hope we get to go next year.
It'd be so much fun.
It's in Tampa. It's in Tampa. I'm already thinking this.
Which would be better weather than St. Louis.
I shouldn't say this on the air, but I'm going to say it. I haven't told you this yet. I think we should get a Sherpa house.
A Sherpa house?
We should get a Sherpa house, and we should make some spots
There's
available.
There's only two Sherpas.
We should make some spots available to people who want to stay in the Sherpa house.
Oh.
We can't pay for them because we don't have any money.
Sure.
But they could, well, it's like the beach party house.
Yeah, yeah, a certain amount.
We'll rent this gorgeous house because I've been looking on Airbnb, man. There's some great,
houses
in Tampa. We'll rent this beautiful house and we'll take our friends from our churches.
Yeah, of course.
And then we'll have some extra spots and we'll make them available. Maybe we'll have a contest or something.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
And you get
to
stay in the Sherpa house.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. We'll go a day earlier, stay a day late so we can actually enjoy the house in the area.
So now that we've said it, we've got to make it happen.
We got to make it happen. Man, we're 2 weeks out from NYWC 18 and we're already talking 19. Love
Why
it.
Why not?
Let's do it.
Yep.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this episode and meeting some of the people we got to hang out with in St. Louis. And we're looking forward to what's lying ahead for the Sherpas. We got cool stuff in the hopper.
Yeah, we got big plans for 2019, but we also have a few more episodes coming out before the end of the year. So
we will see you in a week for episode 36.
Yes, sir.
Until then,
Sherpas out.
That was fun. That's gonna be that episode's gonna be an ADD person's dream.